The opinions expressed on the ACB Media Network are those of the content providers and should not be viewed as an endorsement of any product or service. Nor does it reflect the views of the American Council of the Blind, its elected officials, or its staff.
Welcome, everybody. You are in Mental Health for Seniors and AAVL. So my name is Danette Dixon, one of the facilitators, and my co-facilitator today is Doug. We have Nellie Emerson as our host. Thank you, Nellie. And we have Jane Sa as our streamer slash moderator slash connector slash everything, wearing three hats. And we have the Mental Health Committee to talk about seniors and mental health and how to cope with that. And Pam Shaw chairs the committee, and some of her committee is here. So first we're gonna hear from them, and there will be time for questions afterwards. So take it away, Pam, unless Doug wanted to say anything.
Just an introduction. This is Mental Health Awareness Month. And so we decided that we should be aware of our mental health. So that's why we're having the call this month. So Pam, please go ahead. I think you may still be muted.
Pam, you're still muted, my friend.
No, I think you should be able to hear me now.
No, you're not. There you go.
There you go. Thank you so much. And thank you for the warm invitation. It's a pleasure to be here. And I will say that between Dennett and Doug, they just gave the best introduction that I could ever think of. Because what we're doing during the month of May is recognizing National Mental Health Awareness Month. And so throughout the month, we as members of the committee, we get together and we visit with certain groups, but we want to spread the message and spread the resources that mental health at any age is important to all of us. This comes from the Department of Human Services. Now I have to get this one right. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. Okay. And so again, what we're here to do is highlight the importance of mental health at every stage in life. And again, we're here to share, but believe it or not, at the same time, we are learning as well. Before moving forward, I'd like to do two things. Number one, I would like anybody who's here from the Mental Health and Wellness Committee, if you would just give us your name so that they can know that you're on board and part of the team.
Debbie Green.
Hi, Debbie.
And this is Lynn Schneider.
Hi, Lynn.
Hello.
Margie Donovan.
Hi, Margie.
Hi, honey.
Yay.
All right. They don't know this yet, but they're going to be called on throughout our presentation this afternoon, which is going to take on two parts. The first part is, of course, we will share with you some themes and some thoughts, and we're going to actually be asking you to comment as we go through the process. And then after that, we're going to have a bit of a special session, although part of the whole, and it's going to be called, I got it up here, Starting the Conversation. Because so often when we have people in our lives who are experiencing things, we need to know how to talk to them. And you're going to get a chance, if you so choose, to be part of a role play. So stay tuned. Well, with action, I thank you for the feedback, because what I got from the feedback was the group did want to experience some training, some skill building that you can take with you as well. So as we've already said, mental health is critically important for everyone and everywhere. And again, I like the idea that we're coming together to do this. So this just isn't us talking at you, but you sharing with us and becoming part of the community that reflects on the fact that if someone needs mental health, then we are there to support them. Okay, we can help them with getting the right care. And what we do know for sure is that mental health and wellness makes it possible that we all can thrive, we can achieve well-being, and we can lead meaningful lives. So again, thank you so very much for having us here, and I hope you will feel that this afternoon will be worth your time. So when we really get to talking about this subject, here's something that I think is a good place for us to start and to chat. As we age, we may experience life changes that impact our mental health. Let me read that again. As we age, we may experience life changes that impact our mental health. So here is our first exchange. What are some of the life experiences that you know of, or that you have, or that you've seen others go through that has impacted their mental health? And that's for anybody and everybody who wants to comment.
Mm-hmm. Career change.
Career change. That's a good one.
Penny, sight loss. Penny has her hand raised.
Okay. I would like people to please raise their hand, please. Okay. Nelly, who has their hand raised?
Penny Moss is the first hand.
Okay. Go ahead, Penny.
Y'all hear me?
There you go.
Okay. I feel like the biggest thing I know for me is as I age is experiencing losses of people in my generation that have died.
Yeah. That's a big one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nellie, who's next?
Next hand is Sherry.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I have a friend at church. She's an older person, and her husband died 2 years ago. And as of now, she has, I don't want to say she hasn't accepted it, but on a degree, she hasn't. She cries constantly. She's not involved in anything. She had no friends. But every time she comes to church, she cries and cries and cries. She's gone through grief counseling, but she walked out of that because it wasn't helping her. I've tried talking to her at church, and it just doesn't do any good because she's just so hung up on the fact that she missed him, and she just can't get over it. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that, Sherry, and hope you can stay around because we're going to deal with just that type of thing in our second half. Good.
Jean Marie's hand is raised. Jean Marie?
You are unmuted, Jean Marie. Now you're muted.
So, did you hear what I said? The physical injury and has challenged my ability to be grateful, but I've stayed on top of it because otherwise I'll have a really hard time.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Next, we have phone number 413.
It's Laurie Salomon.
Go ahead, Laurie.
Hi. Well, personally for me, I've experienced the loss of my mom. Both my brother and I have. We're both in our 60s. And I don't know about his grief stage, but mine, I'm in a support group every other Saturday regarding grief counseling. Well, it's not counseling, but it's with other people that are going through the same thing. And but I've also noticed decline in my health as well, especially physically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was since my 40s.
Right.
Thanks to one of my mom's coworkers telling me, well, Lori, it's all downhill from here. And that just set the ball in motion for not only physical problems that I didn't think would stop, but also mentally, it's hard for me to deal with.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Lori. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Karen Campbell.
If I can get unmuted.
You are unmuted. Go ahead.
Right. Death of a spouse or
death of a spouse.
Death of a parent, either way.
Mm. Okay.
Next, Nellie.
Nellie, next.
Okay. Hang on.
Is it Sharon?
Hi. Sharon. I think a large one is having to change your place of where you're living. Many people have to downsize or move into more supported housing than what they've had before and lose some independence and sometimes dignity. And that's just really difficult to endure, I think. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. Yep. So, Pam, do you want to continue with the hands or do you want to?
Yes. Sure. I want to continue, but before I do that, I know my team and they're hankering to say something.
Okay.
So I can let them know that they can add some experiences on too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dr. Lynn Coral.
Hi, I was thinking of a couple things. One is the alcoholism of a spouse or loneliness and isolation and also chronic pain. Those are the things that I think of. Yeah.
Yep. Thank you. That's good. Yep.
I actually can help out because I know which ones to call on. Okay, so Debbie, how about life experience that you could think of that impacts our mental health? Debbie Green.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think a change in a sense of purpose. Often when we, as we age, our role changes. We might retire, we might have different responsibilities or fewer responsibilities, and in maintaining, you know, our relationships, but that deep sense of purpose, I think, is a big one.
Got you. Thank you. Lynn, how about, I'm sorry, Lynn, go ahead. I mean, well, I'm just calling out the name so you guys can.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, absolutely. Yes, this is actually goes right up my interest alley because I am really interested in the whole idea of aging and mental health. I have been a caregiver to two quite elderly parents. One just passed away a few months ago. And from my experience in working with them, not speaking just as a caregiver, but I think that one of the things that leads to isolation is the difficulties with physical, for example, sight, when people have vision loss, when people cannot hear well, and of course, difficulties in mobility. These are things that can make people feel isolated and separate from the people around them. And as I think my call to arms here would be, let's get everybody hearing aids and visual correction if we can, to the best that we can.
Yeah.
All right, let's get a little advocacy in there. And I think we have I think Margie was here. And Margie, if you could do that briefly, because we got a bunch of stuff to cover. Wes here. Okay.
I'm sorry, I was muted and I did not realize that. I'm so sorry.
Understood.
Darn it, Lynn's told my sender. Memory loss. Mm-hmm. Memory loss. I'm going to throw it there. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm. Was there anybody else from the team that we missed? I think we got everybody.
Well, Cindy had her hand raised.
Okay. It's back to you guys. And then we're going to move on after Cindy's comment, if that's okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Cindy.
Did you want Sandy, or are you saying Cindy?
Sandy.
Sandy. Go ahead, Sandy.
Thank you. Thank you. I facilitate AAVL's call for people losing sight, and I think they'd like to mention mental health issues relating to sight loss. I've heard people on the call talk about depression, anxiety, anger. A number of people have even volunteered that they contemplated suicide. If you could address the issues of people losing sight, because the things that they're facing, the depression and the anxiety, is very, very typical of people going through sight loss.
Oh, wow. What a great segue. We didn't plan that, but here goes nothing. But okay, a whole
so
lot of something.
Just a sec. Nellie, if you can lower the hands that are raised now so that we can go move forward, and we'll get to everybody.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, that. So here's what's critical when we talk about these life experiences. Number one, we all have them. They come in different clothing, different styles. They're different for each of us because we have already experienced some things. Some of the things I put on my list was empty nesting. When the kids are really gone and the grandkids are kind of busy and blah, 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 blah. You know, there's that kind of sense of things. And then for me personally, I have had to change because as I'm getting older, I'm needing more assistance. Things I used to do just bam. And now they're taking me longer and some have not even been as safe. So we're all experiencing these life changes relative to our mental health. Well, here's the good part. It's never too late to get help and never too late to support someone in need, because it's important that we to remember that we as older adults may have different mental health symptoms. For example, a lack of interest in some activities. Now, we've got to be very careful here about how we think about people when we see things. For example, every mental health challenge, believe it or not, is should not be seen as a sign of dementia. It can be just the simple things that need to be changed in our lives so that we can feel a better sense of well-being. And just having something like the call that was mentioned, where people can go and talk and share and not feel lonely or not feel odd. Sometimes when we talk with people, they'll say things, well, you know, people have said it must be me because I'm the only person acting like this. No. And remember that we always have to do those things that support good mental health, like good physical health. Here's something we should think about, too, as we talk about mental health care. We can help people in the discussion, as I said, feel more comfortable, even in asking for support, because sometimes it isn't treatment, sometimes it's support. Please do not underestimate what being a part of groups, especially people who share common interests and common concerns, can mean. It can make the difference. Now, when it is necessary, mental health treatment can be part of actually a wellness program to help those of us who are aging live happy and fulfilling lives. Do you know that there was a person that I talked to in your group? I won't tell you who he is. I'll give you one little hint. His name starts with a D. Well, anyway, I bet you know who that is. He and I were talking, and he talked to me about being able to go to Ski for Light. And I was thinking to myself, I could do that again. Now, I'm not going to do it again. But I did find something else to do as a result of our conversation, and I started taking art lessons. And boy, has that made a difference, getting together, doing something, learning a new skill. So there's a lot, and I think you all would agree, that there's a lot of life still left in us. And also, I think it's important, where needed, consult the mental health professional or have them go see someone. We'll talk about that in a bit. Because again, this helps the person to have a way to cope with these changes. Under the best of circumstances, I don't know what they are, but change is not easy of any type. So that's why it's important that we're paying attention to each other and that we're hoping where we can. And I really believe that friends and family can experience meaningful mental connections by spending time visiting with older adults and talking to us and things like that. One of the things that I've seen in COVID, and I hope that it really does get better, is more connectivity, especially in person. There is a difference between connecting on the phone and connecting in person. Sometimes you can't do it, but where you can, it's better because just that human touch, people in the same space, things like that, we find that it does make a difference. And again, I want to say it, mental health is important at every age. Spending time with friends, families can boost our mental and physical health. So we always want to be together in the things that we do and the things that we say and how we treat each other. Before we move on, if it's okay, I want to just do any comments, questions, or concerns before we move into the second half of our time together.
Susan has a raised hand.
Hi, this is I'm Susan. I live in Gilbert, Arizona. And I've got a question about the team that you've referred to. I know two people have raised their hands that they're on it. Is that affiliated with ACB?
Oh, good question.
Yeah, sure is.
Shameless plug here. Okay. The ACB Mental Health and Wellness Committee is indeed one of the committees of our organization. And we do this kind of thing, among other things. We're often on community calls. We present community calls. And even though you're meeting us this month, we're doing some other things. As a matter of fact, on Wednesday, we will be with ACB Women in their evening call, and we're going to be talking about emotions, and how we as women handle those as well. And I'll give you a hint. At one point I made to people is that my emotions have changed and how I handle them over the years. So thank you for that question. And you are welcome to look us up and even come to our meetings.
Well, Susan, thank nice you. To meet you. The reason I ask is I have a lot of experience in the world of mental health.
Mm. Okay.
And I would be interested in being part of the committee if that was wanted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. However you can, let's connect so we can get your contact information. It's, as everybody knows in ACB, presidents are the ultimate appointing authority, but we do look for people too to recommend who have an interest. So thank you for that.
You can send an email to community@acb.org and ask for Pam Shaw.
To Pam?
Yes.
How do I spell the last name?
S-H-A-W. It's Scottish.
S-H-A-W.
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes.
That's my last name.
Are we related? Maybe this is my long lost twin.
I don't know.
All right. Thank you, Susan.
Stacy Smith has a raised hand.
Okay. I've also had a lot of therapy in mental health, but I wanted to say that I've lost my parents and I'm living currently with my sister and brother-in-law, and that's been a big adjustment, and I've needed a lot of mental health therapy because of it, and also, you know, throughout the years I've had physical symptoms of different bodily issues, And so I've been on different drug therapies and things like that for it. These issues have crept up, and I'm sure some things have involved vision issues. But I also don't. I want to make sure that people understand that my vision loss has been since birth, and I don't want people to think that we are dealing with only people who have been blind since adulthood. I want people that have been blind since birth to be also dealt with here. I get the feeling that most people here are maybe low vision, or that's the main reason that they're on here, but
not necessarily. Right. No.
And I think the one thing that I would share with you is the way I heard it said one day: we may sail on different ships, but we're all in the same ocean.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And I'm a total since birth.
Okay. And I wasn't sure if that was the big issue.
No. And let me say this also from a mental health perspective, that when it comes to certain things, yes, as I said earlier, it may feel different, it may be different, but in the long run, we've got more in common than we do apart. Mm-hmm. And so that's also helpful to focus on it. But thanks for your comment and your transparency.
Thanks.
I just didn't want everybody to focus on vision loss.
No, we get
okay.
it. We got
okay.
it.
Thank you.
Thank
so
you.
Let's go to one of your committee members, Lynn, who has her hand raised.
Well, Lynn is an honorary committee member.
Are you talking about Dr. Lynn or?
That's a good question, because we got two of them, at least two.
But I wanted to expand on something that Pam said, and Pam was talking about quality of life. And I think this is something that is on my wish list for our society, that we would, we made this mistake with my mom as she was getting older. We were constantly doing her vital signs and making sure that her, you know, she was, you know, everything was working right. But I think what we sort of ended up doing in the end is sort of focusing on, if I had a mug that I could write something on, I would say, let's add life to our days instead of days to our life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we focus a lot on, as people age, on the physical. We focus on their blood pressure and their this and that. But we forget that quality of life issue. And I think that this is, we need to put more focus on this. Not just, are you alive? Okay, that's great. But are you thriving? You know, are you able to use what you have? I think that's the key thing is, you know, when we age, we all have losses. You know, even me, as I'm aging, I can see losses, little losses here and there. But I think the thing to think about, especially if you're a caregiver, is how do I maximize what this person has? How do I make sure that quality of life is also considered, not just quantity?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Lynn.
Yeah, good.
Now, did our other Lynn? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
A couple of raised hands. If you would like to take them.
Yes, we can.
Joe Marks.
Good afternoon. Hi, Pam. Nice
hey,
to talk
Joe.
To you again. Yes.
You too.
I wanted to bring up two things that I feel like were a little missing, and that is alienation from family members that are sighted, and kind of some of the misconceptions that they may have, and how that affects the mental health of the person that is going through being blind or vision loss. And the other is the lack of support that some of the, I guess, state-run rehabilitation organizations, the lack of funding that they're given or the lack of resources that they're able to give to the people that are dealing with blindness. I think one of your committee members mentioned about, you know, vision correction and hearing aids. And I would just add to that, you know, there's great visual tools, technological tools that can help people that are blind. And I feel like when those are difficult to get and you have to kind of explain to a very long level why you deserve it, it's not that you should deserve it because you're a human and a person and you are blind. That should be enough. So just the alienation stepping up of the states.
Thank you so much for that, because what you're doing is reminding us of something that we'll be talking about at another event, and that is important, the importance of advocacy. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. We've got Regina Marie, her hand is raised.
Ah!
Good morning. I made it, Pam. I've been threatening to join these calls. I just wanted to bring up something that if you're from another culture other than, you know, mainstream Caucasian culture, what happens is an extra layer of alienation due to sort of implicit bias or misperceptions or, God forbid, some kind of, you know, actual racism, where I'm thinking of something I read where doctors believe that Black people don't feel pain at the same level as white people. And that seems amazing to me, but it's a proven study finding. And so sometimes when you're dealing with mental health, you have to factor in culture.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Danette, can we maybe just take two more at the most, and then we can move into the second part of our program, if that's okay?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, the next person is Rick Toriano.
Good afternoon. I have a lot of experience within mental health. I'm retired now, but I've worked in mental health for at least 30 to 35 years. One of the things, and I know you brought it up before, but one of the things that is majorly important is support. I can't stress enough how support groups with the folks I've worked with have helped them. Every agency that I was involved with had support groups, and it made a great difference.
Thank you.
Yeah. Real quick, the reason why I got into mental health, my best friend has suffered with mental illness for all of his life, and I met him in college. And he always stressed that medication, when you're struggling with mental illness, get on meds and stay on your meds and don't go off of that. That's very, very important. Thank you very much.
Right. Thank you. One more.
Patty Fletcher.
Well, hi, Patty.
Hi, I'm sorry. My phone was upside down. I'll be very quick. It's kind of like my life. I am having a very difficult time adjusting to the changes happening to my body. I didn't have an older woman to kind of talk to as I, you know, as I was coming into it. My mother died at the age that I am getting ready to turn. So I find myself very fearful and lacking in a good placement in where my living situation. So thank you.
Thank you. Well, now we're going to move into the second half of our program. Okay. We want to,
Nellie, will you lower the other hand?
Yes,
please.
I will.
Thank you. Sorry. Go ahead, Pam.
No, not at all. Thank you. We want to honor your time and also honor the request that we would do some skill building. And what we're going to be focused on is how to really support a loved one or even to deal with things yourself when we're talking about mental illness and or substance use diagnoses or disorders, depending on when, where you start. And our particular section is called Starting the Conversation. Starting the Conversation. Because when a family member or someone you know or someone you're working with or, you know, someone, it could even be yourself, when a person is really struggling with a particular mental disorder or mental challenge, because we're not being diagnosticians here, but we want to point out that we can see some things. And support, as has been mentioned, support is key to getting that person the help that they need and getting them to live the life that they want to lead. But a starting point is, of course, that conversation. What do you say when you know something is going on with another person? In other words, how you can help. So there are a couple of tips here, and then we're going to do some role plays depending upon how our time goes. So number one is identify an appropriate time and place. This is not the thing to do it publicly or do it in a situation that would add to the person's discomfort or just make the situation worse. I always recommend to people that you start with a private setting, okay, whether that's the person's home or whether that's where you can sit like at a coffee shop where you're sort of off by yourself or things like that. And that helps because, again, we want a place that is private, okay, and with, you know, kind of limited distractions and things like that, and such as, again, home or, you know, going for a walk or something like that. But for many of us these days, we know that it's going to end up on the phone. And at the same time, seek privacy. Seek if it's a time that a person can really talk to you. Here's number two. Express concerns and be direct. One of the things for all of us when we're struggling with whatever it is knowing that the person who approaches us cares. Here's what you can do. You can ask that person, how are you feeling? And then what you also can go on to do is to describe the reasons for your concern. Here's a third thing that you can do. Acknowledge their feelings and, big, big, important word, listen. Listen quietly. Listen actively. Listen with an open mind. And also listen even with your heart, because it could be you. And if it were you, how would you want someone to talk to you? Here's number four. This is one of my favorites. Offer to help, not just to point the finger, but to help. And that help can come in all kinds of forms. It may be helping them to get to a resource. Or it may be helping them to deal with some other issue because maybe what you thought the problem was isn't really what it was. If it's such things as substance use or other kinds of mental health issues, be sure to get them some answers and stay with them such as is appropriate to help them connect with who and what they need. And then be patient, be patient. It is not a given that simply because you've gone through these steps and you did everything well, that it's going to happen overnight. It may take several visits with the person, but you stay in these steps, and I believe honestly that the change will come. And I also want to say this in terms of a very important resource that's always at your fingertips is the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. And you dial 988, you'll be able to talk to a trained counselor who can help you or that person who you're trying to help to get in touch. So again, I'm going to go right back over this one sentence on each one so that we can get ready for the role play.
Excuse me, it's time check 41 after the hour.
Thank you, Nellie. Yeah, we're good.
Thanks. Identify an appropriate time and place. Express concern for the person. Acknowledge their feelings and listen. Offer to help and be patient. All right, let's go real quick into our role play. I'm going to set the scene, and then we'll need two volunteers. One who is the person who is struggling, and the other one is the friend who's starting the conversation. Okay, this is a story. What I'm going to tell you is based on a true story, but it's not the whole story, okay? So you're in your regular committee meeting, and you've noticed that one of the members is acting in a way that's a bit confusing to you, but you can see that this person is struggling with something. They generally are coming to the meetings late, and when they do come, they don't seem to be keeping up with what the topic is. And sometimes even their speech is slurred. But again, you are concerned and you want to help this person and you're going to start the conversation. So we need one, and by the way, there won't be a right or wrong. We need one volunteer who's the helping person and another one who is the person who is struggling.
So do you want your committee members or do you just want people to raise their hand? Two people.
Their hands.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Two people.
And if they don't put their hands up, I know some names to call.
Margie is first.
Somebody,
and 413.
Yeah.
That's Lori.
Okay, Lori. Yeah.
Okay, we'll take Lori.
And that's Margie. Me. And I'll be the struggler, the person struggling.
That's Lori, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Margie, I'm counting you as a team member. Could we step back and give somebody else
Absolutely.
An opportunity?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I only put it up because I heard there was no hands up. So
I know that's right. It's always a ram in the bush. So we need the concerned person.
Let's go with Stacy.
All right. So we have Stacy
and
Lori.
Mm-hmm. Lori.
Okay. Well, our helper, as the person who's starting the conversation, take it away.
Lori, I mean, Stacy, that's you. Stacey. Mm-hmm.
You there?
I think it said she just left the meeting.
Left the meeting. Stacy left.
Okay.
She got dumped.
Oh.
Jean Marie has her hand raised.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. She's going to be our helper.
Sure. So, Lori, how's it going for you right now?
Hi there, Jean Marie. Nice to meet you. Well, I'm still grieving. I'm feeling down in the dumps. My mom died 2 years ago, and I'm still not over that. And it's affecting everything I'm doing.
Oh, wow. So... it sounds like you're having trouble getting past the loss of your mom.
Yes.
So
I'm trying to move forward, you know, with, you know, different things like activities like this. But in between those events, I return to the grief, which is probably not wrong necessarily, but, you know, I'd like to get past that.
So what would you like your life to look like?
I'd like to enjoy things the way I used to. And because I've withdrawn from social activities, I've lost interest in things that I used to love to do. And I just, and when I participate with people, it's like I don't, not you guys, because I love you guys. I'm talking about people outside the Zoom room. I don't enjoy those activities as much. And I'm there, but I'm sort of like polite to people. But inside, I'm like, I wish I wasn't here.
And what's motivating you to want to be in those places that you end up going and you don't enjoy yourself?
Well, I think that instead of staying home a lot like I never used to do, you know, I think that, you know, I keep thinking maybe if I just get my mind off of my problem, I'll feel better. But when I go to social activities in person, I don't feel that way. And yet when I come to activities with ACB, I don't feel that way. So that's weird.
Not necessarily. The other activities that you participate in, are they with sighted people?
Most of the time, yes.
Okay, and time. Okay. Danette, I plan to stop at 10 of, okay?
Okay.
Okay, very good. Very good. Thank you both. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. Here are a couple of things to think about, because again, there's no right and wrong way to do it. But especially for us who are just kind of like lay people and we just want to know the basics of how do we get this started. So number one is think about your first sentence, because it's that first sentence that's going to get that person's attention. Now, it could change dependent on the situation, but I'm going to give you a few samples, okay, of that first sentence. I've been worried about you. Can we talk? Here's another one. I see you are going through something. Okay? Okay, these are starter sentences. I care about you, and I'm here to listen. Okay, here's another one. I've noticed you haven't been yourself. Those are just some of the kinds of comfort-giving opening sentences. Now, here's a good one, because this will help you. And I would say sometimes for us, keep the conversation direct, and remember that you want to also keep it relatively short, because you don't want to get into something that you can't really do anything about. So we don't always have to come with the answers, but here is a real helpful one that I like. Okay. If the person says, well, no, I don't really want to talk about it, you can say, okay, if not, who are you comfortable talking to? Because sometimes what you do best for a person is get them connected. Okay. Here's another one. And I love these kinds of sentences. So let's say you said to somebody, I see you're going through something. And here's a good one. How can I best support you? Because in many instances, people are able to talk a little bit about what they need and what they want. But believe it or not, research shows that most people never ask them. They just assume certain things. Okay? And here again, telling the person, you know, I'm here to listen, and ask them, do you want to talk about what's been going on? Because you want to get their permission to be there. You don't want to shove yourself right into it, because people who are struggling want it. They know they want it. Many of them know they need it. But the approach that they get can really turn them off. And in many ways, you've done, you know, some harm. And so really thinking about, you know, I care about you, connectivity, respecting their boundaries, and then asking them the question, how can I help? So those are just some of the things that you can do. Now, what I can do, depending on what the group wants to do, what I just shared with you, I do have in a handout. Okay. And so if you would like that handout, Danette, I'm thinking, Doug, I'm thinking the same thing. Just send something to Cindy to get in touch with me.
You can send it to me and I can send it to the list, to the AAVL list. Yeah.
Okay. That's perfect. Okay. So we'll get that to you. It is a PDF, but we'll get that to you.
Okay.
And if we have any trouble with it, we'll fix it.
It is about 10 till.
I'm done. Thank you for having us.
Stacey Smith has her hand raised.
Okay.
Pam, I'd like to make a comment before I call on Stacey for just a second.
Okay, go ahead, Doug.
I think sometimes I noticed that we try to handle the problem, and in many cases we're not, we're not in a position where we can actually do the professional care that's necessary.
Right.
So one of the things that I would say, yes, you can ask, how can I help you? But I would couch it in terms of, you know, have you spoken to someone? Are you in communication with them? Do you need to schedule another meeting with them? You know, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Shows the care, but also shows that it's the problem. You know, solving the problem is not something that we can do ourselves.
Right. And so that's why a lot of what we can help people with is the connection to something. And we don't have to have a lot of detail to do that, because I'm a believer in, be careful about opening up a can of worms. You know, my therapy instructors used to say that all the time. Be careful what you open up.
Yep.
So that a short conversation, a brief one, getting them, and you don't even have to worry about the kind of help. Don't worry about it. Somebody will worry about that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I get you, Doug. I really do, because that's part of caring.
So more what Doug was saying, you may not be able to help them, but you can take them to a support group meeting or something.
That's true. And look at all
go
of
with, go with much- them to it. So,
that's right. And we may be strange to say this, but think about this. For many, many people, just knowing that somebody cares allows them to take those first steps towards treatment.
Right. Cares enough to walk with you through this, to go with you to that first meeting or something. Yeah.
Both of you. Thank you.
Stacey was going to say something, right?
Stacey has her hand raised.
Yeah, go ahead, Stacey.
If you talk to me like that, I would probably say, I have to talk to my bishop.
I'm sorry, I have to talk to my
bishop.
Oh, your base leader. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
That'd be fine.
Okay.
Before I can say anything.
Okay. Because it was a simple question there. I want you to know that I care about you.
Right.
I think I heard
We do have one of your committee members with the hand. Is Penny on your committee? Yes, she is, isn't she? Maybe not.
But she may be soon.
Really? I've thought about it. Hi, Pam.
Hey, sweetie, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Penny, go ahead.
Another job. My concern, and I don't even think we have time to get into this, and I don't want to open up a can of worms too much, but my concern is when you know that somebody has a lot of problems, but they are not open to looking at them. They think they're always right, and they're very argumentative, and that's the struggle that I have. And president of a chapter, I have someone like that who's an officer, and it's very difficult to work with this person, and I know that there's serious problems. And so I think it's not always easy to go to that person and say, how may I help you?
you have to know that they want your support. And I know that this person does not, this person feels that they should be able to do everything, that they shouldn't take any help about anything. And that's where I struggle with helping. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I work mm-hmm. with Doug on the leadership training committee. And one of the things we've learned about leadership, and Doug, you correct me if I'm wrong, much of the work that you do in leadership, you do on yourself, because we don't get to control or change people. And the other thing is, remember that the last tip was be patient.
Be patient.
It will take a while and it will take everything you've got. But yes. That key to that patience is critical. I know some people, I've been working in ACB with almost 30 years. And still, mm-hmm. we're getting there. We're going to get there one day. Okay, we're going to get to the promised land. But the work, we have to think about ourselves and our style, because even difficult people deserve a certain level of acceptance. Mm-hmm.
And how can you, take a look at different ways that you can interact with that person to get the most out of mm-hmm. the interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's a good point too. I like that.
Well, one approach I've tried, and I may try it again, is I have a problem and I need your help. That's something mm-hmm. I found, that it makes people less defensive, and I need your help in solving it. And
we have 3 minutes, and Doug, you want to say closing or talk about what AVL is doing at convention?
I got my ticket.
Great. Sure. Thanks, Danette. So let's see. We have, we're doing a session. We're doing a lunch. And despite the fact that the Jacksonville Hotel is outrageously expensive, we decided to subsidize the lunch. So it's $35. And after the lunch, we're going to have a presentation from Chris Prentice, who is an attorney, and is her name Nina?
Nina Walker.
Walker, mm-hmm. who works at a funeral home,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to be talking about what do you need to have in order? You know, what papers do you need to have in order to be ready for? We're all gonna die sometime. So how do we set ourselves up so that we're ready for that, as ready for that as possible? Yeah.
And I believe it's $38 with the $3 for ACB or for the ticket.
Oh, that's
printing,
right.
Or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's correct.
And we're also doing a trivia.
Oh, yeah.
Zoom only, though. So, yeah.
Right.
That's before. So.
Yeah, the Friday of the Zoom week, we're doing a trivia with Next Gen. So we're going to ask them questions from our era, and they're going to ask questions from their era. And we had a lot of fun with it last year, and we're going to do that again this year.
Yeah.
Margie had something to say.
Is that luncheon thing going to be on Zoom?
The lunch itself will not be, but the presentation, I believe, is hybrid.
Yes, it is hybrid. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it will be available through all of the media and such.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks
for being here today.
Our website is aavl-blind-seniors.org.
That's it. That's it.
We're out of time.
Yep.
Right.
Thank you,
everybody, for coming. Thank you, Nellie. Thank you, Pam, and Pam's mental health committee team, and Doug. Thank you for helping.
Sure.
Alrighty, my pleasure to be here.
And Jane Sa, thank you for moderating. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.